You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
Hello, everybody. This is John DeLuna, not JD this week, because we're going to kind of shift gears on New Soundwave. I'm going to try something different, a little different, not necessarily passing the torch. We're playing hot potatoes, so I may pass
it. Oh, how right you are, sir.
Yes. So anyway, you know, we're going to focus the geekery on New Soundwave and kind of talk mostly about video games. And see how that flies, considering that we have so many other podcasts of delicious varieties. We already have a comic book podcast. We have a Transformers podcast. We have an MMA podcast. And we have a Superhero Time podcast, which speaks for itself. So yeah. We're going to kind of focus the light on video games and New Soundwave for a few weeks. And we're going to see how it works. So with me is Brian Kilby, sort of. He's off working on RFC, actually.
No, I'm not. I'm just sitting here on my butt drinking a 2 liter of Diet Dr. Pepper.
Okay, we'll see. That's when you're at your best.
Do you have 2 liters of Cheerwine where you are?
What about Cheerwine? I don't have any with me.
Do you have 2 liter bottles in the stores there?
Yeah, of course. I have a 2 liter sitting in the fridge outside.
Wow. Damn it.
Do you know the radius for Cheerwine? Do you know like about where it stops being sold?
Ohio?
Hmm. Wait, so there are some in Pennsylvania? Wait,
like our way. Oklahoma,
yeah.
Texas.
Going south, buddy.
Alabama, maybe?
Oh, okay. That's pretty south. It's not west enough, but whatever.
Yeah. It's pretty much scalped here.
You should scalp it. You should be a bootlegger for Cheerwine.
Yeah, that would be awesome, man.
Just go on a run. It's like Dukes of Hazzard, only, you know, I guess sweeter.
That and Sundrop, man, they're like all over it here. I mean, like the guys are selling out the back of the store. Yeah, we got cases in.
That you can't even sell Sundrop here. Nobody wants it.
What is it?
I don't even know what that is.
It's a citrus soda. It's been around for like 100 years.
Yeah, we've got Sundrop here. It's pretty good sometimes.
Is it like Mountain Dew or Sunkissed or?
No.
It's like a store brand Mountain Dew.
It's kind of like a cross between Mountain Dew and Mellow Yellow.
Huh.
Sort of.
Yeah. Haha, we tricked you. We're actually going to be talking about soda.
I was about to say, well, like I said, video games all the time here. Anyway, also with me, JD, Rob, Bweebum, XV, Chris, and myself.
We're throwing everything at the show.
Yeah.
We're trying. We're really trying.
We are. So you know what? We're gonna dally about talking about Cheerwine, soda, bootlegging, but we're always going to come back to video games. How about that? That's our promise to you folks.
That's basically been my life. You know, I may try drugs. I may try alcohol. I may try, you know, suicide. But it always goes back to the gaming.
That's what brings you back, brother.
Yeah.
It's our center.
Inspiration.
Yeah. I mean,
I like the idea of you, like, putting the blade down and turning back to your N64.
Yes.
Watch every anti-drug PSA and then remember – 3 o'clock in the morning playing Rampage on NES looks exactly the same.
Absolutely.
Sitting in your underwear, just sweating, haven't shaved in weeks. Gotta get pissed in Washington. Gotta go to work tomorrow. Still playing. Yeah.
Okay.
This is Rob. Wow. This is Rob Springer, folks.
Speak.
Portrait of Rob. This week we're going to talk about Real ID. JD's going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about how phones are the new Game Boy and the Game Boy is the new phone, maybe. We're going to talk about a little bit about NBA Jam and just kind of touch on Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. Just a real quick review of that wonderful piece of gamery. Hey, JD. Hit us up with this Real ID story here.
Sure. So Blizzard has been talking for a while about trying to amp up its Battle.net. Of course, Battle.net is it's the program or connection piece that Blizzard uses to link its online games. So previously, you used it to connect to battles within just the regular Warcraft game and also the regular StarCraft games. So Warcraft 3, StarCraft, you would go into there to find matches in those games. Well, then they decided to branch that over and connect World of Warcraft with the Battle.net. And it's one of those deals where there's a lot of small steps that have gotten us to where we're at now. And not everybody is really sure if they're liking where we're at and where Blizzard is going. So essentially, once they linked everything together, they said, okay, you're going to link your Battle.net account with your World of Warcraft account. And in order to do that, you didn't use, you know, typically with an online game or with anything, a login, you'll a lot of time, well, probably about half the time now, you'll use some sort of pseudonym. So a screen name or something that you make up as your login name. Well, they did away with that with Battle.net. Now you have to use your email address. And part of that was to try to target in-game farmers or people who were trying to defraud the game, either by setting up fake accounts or what have you. So some people kind of grumbled about that. Wasn't necessarily a huge deal. Now that's all linked. Well, now Blizzard has come out with what they're calling Real ID. The concept here is that you're going to be able to friend people that are other Blizzard users, other Blizzard gamers. You're going to be able to see them online and communicate with them online, no matter where they are within the Battle.net universe. So if I have my Real ID linked to your Real ID and you're playing StarCraft 2 but I'm playing World of Warcraft, we can still see each other online and we can still communicate with each other.
So is this an intentionally socialized sort of social networking thing? Are they like trying to get Blizzard fans laid?
I don't think so. One of the things that I think they're trying to do is, part of it is, yeah, I mean, to sort of keep the community together, because they know that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to maybe not play World of Warcraft to go play StarCraft or to go play, you know, StarCraft 2 or to go play Diablo 3 when it comes out. So they may be trying to keep those lines of communication open, because if, you know, let's say, like, for example, myself, I'm planning on playing StarCraft 2 when it comes out here in a few weeks. That means I'm not going to be online. But if my guild needs me for a raid and they can see that I'm online, they can say, hey, JD, can you pop over? We need you for a raid or whatever. Then I'm going to be, it's going to encourage me to keep my World of Warcraft account going that I'm paying for, you know, versus the other accounts. That may be one thing. I think another thing is they are trying to combat some of the fraudulent accounts. I don't know. But here's the real catch. So they actually rolled out Real ID last week, 2 weeks ago. One thing that happened that we didn't really realize until they launched it was that when you friend someone in Real ID, you friend them through their email account. So just in order to friend someone, you have to give them your email account. Then once your two accounts are linked, it doesn't display like your screen name or your character name. It does display those things, but you pop up as your real name, your real first and last name.
That's weird.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, because most of the people that, you know, depending on how you game, I mean, the guilds and things that I've been in typically will know each other's first names, but not necessarily last names. So in order to real ID them, you're going to get to know their full name.
So could you be like Miles Long or something like that?
Well, you can't really, because with your
I would hope so.
With, I mean, yeah, I mean, you could say, well, you could just make up a fake name, but it's tied to your real account, of which your real account is most likely tied to some sort of credit card and or some way that you pay for that game. So unless you make up a fake name for your, you know, for all your accounts, and you have a way to pay for your accounts without paying for the credit card or how most people would pay for it, it's going to show your real name.
So you, I mean, you'd have to do something elaborate to fake it.
Yes.
Like so get like Visa gift cards and like make your name miles long on it, or Yukon Cornelius or something like that. I'm sorry. I'm stuck on the fake names. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I think those are your two favorite fake names.
And here's the real deal, though. I mean, and yeah, you could do that, but the problem is that if you're a World of Warcraft player and you have, you know, 5 level 80 toons and you've had your account for years, you can't go back and just change that stuff, you know. So you're the cost and trouble of doing that. I mean, unless you're just going to close your accounts, it makes it difficult to do that. So yeah, you could if you were starting out fresh, but if you're going to use your existing account that you've used. So if all that doesn't sound bad enough, we'll amp it up a level. Now, of course, Blizzard has its community forums. Now they're talking about linking your real ID to the forums, meaning when you post on the World of Warcraft or the Blizzard forums, it is also going to post your real name. And people are going to be able to see your real name and your, you know, essentially your account with your characters on it. So it's sort of, I don't know, knocking the stand out from under this, the concept of a certain level of net anonymity. You know, the part of being within that gaming world is that you have a certain level of anonymity, but you're not going to have that anymore. It's going to put your real name out there. It's going to put, you know, when you make a post on the boards or when you're in game, it's going to show your real name.
So and basically, what you're saying is they're all going to stop and be like, hey, wait, all these girls are dudes.
that is one thing. Yeah. That is,
it destroys the illusion.
I don't really I don't really care too much about the World of Warcraft or MMORPGs in general, but I don't know if you got to this point or not, but what's the actual point of behind this real ID? They just want to be basically the opposite of anonymity on the web? I mean, they want to
hold
accountable for this kind of stuff? Or I don't really understand what the point is between people having a handle and posting with their real names.
Yeah, Blizzard's really pissed at trolls.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard a good explanation as for why they feel it's necessary to put our actual names out there. And the concerns for doing it, you know, are vast. I mean, yeah, there's stuff like Facebook, but I can choose who I friend and who I don't. I don't have a choice if I want to post something on the Blizzard forums, if it's going to post my name. I don't have a choice if I want to use Real ID to connect with other people. I mean, because the advantage of like Real ID in the game is huge. Because if you're like me, I mean, I have all of my character slots on my server are full, and I play on 2 different servers because I have characters on my old server. So to have Real ID, to have someone linked to my Real ID, means it doesn't matter what character I'm on, they can see where I am. So if they need to get a hold of me, or you know, if they need something, I've got a friend of mine that plays on a completely different server that I don't play on. I can have him on my friend ID, and we can chat, you know, connected that way. But you know, what about people that don't want their information out there? The question was posed, well, you know, employers are already using Facebook to try to find information. You know, they're using the internet, essentially, searching your name, trying to look up information about you. Well, it's going to pop up that you're...
Now they know you're a huge douchebag on a video game.
Now they know that you pose as a woman on World of Warcraft.
Yeah, and that's potential information that could be out there.
So is this going to hurt World of Warcraft? Is this going to hurt WoW's, I can't even say it, World of Warcraft? Is it going to hurt WoW and Blizzard in the long run, or is this a good thing?
I don't know. I mean, I think the answer is we don't know. I mean, and that's the best we can say, because one, Blizzard hasn't put it out. They've hinted that they want to do this, but I think they're hopefully going to wait for feedback to know whether or not they do it. I'd have to say I think there was there's still an initial level of shock that we're having to put our real names out there just to do the real ID.
Now your employers know what a pervert you are.
Yeah, and now that we're going to put our real names out there to go on the boards, I'm waiting for the backlash.
Yeah, is there not a backlash yet, or do you think it's just
starting? Yeah, it's definitely starting. I think it was the one thing, like I said, with the real ID, we're all sort of still shocked, so it's like we're too shocked to be really offended. But I think with this story breaking today, I know Alicia Day
reality's setting in.
Yeah, if Microsoft did this with Xbox Live, I wouldn't care. It's already my name.
I think I sniff an Activision being bizarre thing.
Is this because there's a high level of douchebaggery going on in WoW? Is that the reason people are pissed off, or is it are the people who play WoW really cave dwellers?
Douchebaggery.
Yeah,
I think there's always been, well, within the MMO community, there has always been a certain level of anonymity, a certain level of immersion,
and a high level of real world wizards who walk around in clothes.
Right. Well, there's always, it is a game in which you create an avatar, of yourself, and they interact within, a virtual world. But even in that, there's still been a certain level of, the other issue is just security. If I'm putting my name out there and my name is linked to my account, and you can get my name and my email is my account, I think it makes it easier to hack my account.
Yeah, that's weird. It makes it even less secure.
Exactly. Because you have to put your email out there. So now, if somebody wants to hack my account, they already know my login name. If they have my email, all they need is my password.
But you could say that for a lot of other things, too.
That's absolutely true.
I guess so.
If you send me an email, you know my login.
Yeah. And as long as they don't, as long as you don't do something stupid, I guess, like tweet your password.
I tend to just
now they're going to be able to find who sent those pictures of their wee wee to their little boy.
Yeah,
I
tend
it
to
wasn't
just,
an orc woman kept saying ASL at all.
I tend to just tweet like the URL I'm trying to go to, so like clownpenis.org. I tend to tweet that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like I said, this could be nothing. And I think in the long run, I think the days of screen names and net anonymity, XV and Weebum and Ender aside, I think those days are starting to go away. I think we're things like Facebook and even Twitter have started to push people into identifying themselves and using their names, and we're not as maybe afraid of that as we used to. So maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's, maybe this is just the future and it's going to be okay. But I don't know. The other point that was made is that for the actual female gamers, it may be a great way to stalk them.
I'll say.
Another way.
It's not like,
so I don't know. Even Felicia Day pointed that out. So I don't know.
Fantastic.
Hey, in the face of the MMO.
Oh, man, so, if you're a celebrity, that's really going to suck. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, think about that for Felicia Day. She's going to be,
Who is Felicia Day?
Who is Felicia Day?
The Guild, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Guild. She's on the Guild. She was on Dollhouse.
She was on Dollhouse, yeah.
But there's nobody like Ajax or anybody.
Thing-along blog.
Anybody like Pat Sajak or somebody that like, oh, dude, Pat Sajak, whoa.
She's mostly a Joss Whedon, like he usually casts her for a lot of the stuff.
Oh, okay, that's why I don't.
I watched stuff that's good.
should be in the Avengers for sure.
That yes. Oh, yeah, it's guaranteed.
DevCon says Dr. Horrible. Okay, I did watch the first episode of that. All 5 minutes of it.
Dr. Horrible is awesome.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome actually. the hammer is his penis.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay.
Hey, on that note. On that note, let's hey, speaking of penises and clown penises, let's talk about Japan.
What?
yes. All right. The land of giant robots and sexual deviants brings you the collision course between phone and Game Boy. So this week we had like two stories that kind of like run parallels, kind of interesting parallels. It turns out, not surprisingly, that more Americans every year, every week, are using their phones for games to game. Because basically, if you look at all of, like, the back orders for Evos and iPhone 4s, everybody's getting a smartphone. Everybody's getting a gaming phone or a gaming capable phone. And so people are using it more and more, which it's not a stretch to see that eventually that's going to start taking a big chunk out of handheld gaming. And so at the same time this week, now we get a story that it looks like Nintendo, Sony and Nintendo, are working in Japan to add 3G networking to their next handhelds. Now, that could mean just internet, but it probably also means a good deal of Skype and VoIP and stuff like that as they try to kind of like retroactively turn their handhelds into kind of a cell phone, kind of a communications device. So it's interesting how you kind of see these two worlds colliding.
I don't see it. And
I don't see that. I see it more of like a DLC or an arcade type gaming platform.
I just don't see the point in it. I mean, Wi-Fi is superior in almost any way, especially in Japan where Wi-Fi is almost universal. I mean, you should be able to find a Wi-Fi connection anywhere.
Well, if you believe it, I mean, in Japan, their 3G speeds are ridiculous. Like their cellular capabilities are, they put pretty much the U.S. to utter and terrible shit.
Everywhere does.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty really much. Slow country. But I don't know. I see that more of as a way for, like, you know how now you can. On the Android marketplace or even the iTunes, right? You can buy games and things like that. I think they're trying to do that. Maybe they're trying to push some. I see that kind of in the future too, pushing, you know, little games that are easier.
That's where the money is.
Exactly.
Oh, like, yeah. The $2 game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I bought a $2 game because I just love it so much on my phone because it's just that great. I mean, people, I think I see it more of that than Skyping and things like that. Although that is a good, interesting application because you already have, I mean, DS already has a microphone. They already have 3D, like the 3DS is coming out. They're going to have that too. So
I was guessing that in Japan anyway, they could have some sort of MMORPG dating simulator that you could actually sort of communicate via VoIP, built in VoIP, with someone of the opposite sex or the same sex if that's what you prefer.
On the next train.
Yeah, yes. So, you know, I mean, there are a lot of applications that they could do, but I don't know. I think cell phones have their market. Gaming consoles have their market. There's some crossover, but a cell phone will never be exclusively again, or never be as, you know, it will not penetrate the gaming market like a game console will. And a game console certainly won't penetrate the cell phone market like a smartphone would. I don't see a lot of crossover. I don't see them blending. I see them having unique applications.
I think Nokia disagrees with you with the N-Gage.
Yes. The N-Gage. Yeah, well.
I like tacos next to my ear.
Nokia disagrees, but everyone else agrees.
Right.
I recall when Nintendo was trying to work out a deal with Nokia to create a phone that you could put Game Boy Advance cartridges in and, you know, have a Game Boy Advance in your phone.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been great. And that would have been the N-Gage. Wonderful. Let me take the battery out of the cartridge in and put the battery back in. But, yeah, we got to think of why those $2 games are so profitable. One is the real world reason. It's $2. Two, you didn't bring your DS to the dentist office.
Exactly.
You know, it's not the same thing.
Total impulse buy.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm bored and bored and bored and bored and bored and bored and bored. When's dad getting out of surgery? Oh, break breaker. Oh,
yeah.
Angry Birds. Yay.
I mean, a DS, you kind of, or DS or a PSP, you have to have the conscious decision of saying, I'm going to bring this solely because I want to play a game.
Exactly.
And sometimes when I get really bored and I have nothing else, I take out my cell phone and I just play a game. It's easy. It's casual.
I'm playing Sudoku on my phone right now.
Exactly.
I run Windows Mobile, so I don't play any games on mine.
Yeah. You don't really do anything on your phone.
Yeah, your phone, the Windows Mobile, unfortunately, until it hits 7, can't really do much of anything at this point.
And the thing is, we got to remember, so cell phone games and your DS, it's like, oh, hey, Snake.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
hey,
look,
Rob, are you getting the 3DS?
Of course.
That's in my docket, yes, sir.
Yes. Rob is our resident, like, DS aficionado.
Yes,
AKA whore?
AKA whore, yes.
Yeah.
Shh, silly.
We don't call him that to his face.
Oh.
Yeah. Just to the side of it.
Have you gotten every version of the DS to date?
I still have yet to get a XL just because of timing, but I probably will.
I mean, it's the same thing, right? Just bigger. It's like,
yeah, but
it's a giant like brick of a DS.
Yeah. Did you get basically DS, but DSi XL, right?
Did anyone get the Game Boy Advance Micro?
Yes.
I wanted to. I saw it on clearance, and I almost bought it. But
how long was that on the shelves?
Not long.
Yeah, it was there.
I've never even heard of this thing. What?
You can still buy it like overseas, though, which is odd because it's huge over there. Just here is like a year after the DS.
Yeah, it was a DS, which was about what 6 inches long and about 2 inches tall, something like a Game Boy Advance. It's about six inches by 2 inches.
About the size of a bar phone.
Oh,
I didn't think is it that big? Like the old NES controllers.
It was a little wider, I think.
Yeah, I do remember. I mean,
didn't they style it that way?
There's a Famicom version, but not an NES version. But there's aftermarket faceplates that you can do it.
Okay, I just remember.
I know my junk. Yeah, there's the Famicom one. That's it.
And, of course, there's the Famicom and NES version of the Game Boy Advance SP.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite. That may be my favorite console ever, the SP.
You know what my...
It's perfect.
Yeah.
There's only two Nintendo portable versions I haven't bought, and that's the first Game Boy Pocket because I was happy with my pre-war Game Boy. You know, the giant block. Yeah. I was happy with
that. That's the only one I've got, man.
And then the Light Boy because it didn't come out in America.
Yeah. You can get them, though. They're like $50 or $60 on eBay.
Eh, the time's passed. I love my Virtual Boy, though. And yes, I did play that Jing in the car.
Did it give you migraines, awesome. Too?
No, never once.
That thing, I remember, it just got me really lost.
I turned off auto pause and could play for hours, and it never bothered me. But then again, I'm Rob, so maybe there's something I don't realize.
Something just not computed.
Yeah. Why do I keep punching this midget? Oh, red.
Hey, any NBA Jam fans around here?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I loved me some NBA Jam.
I cannot wait.
You know, it's weird. That's one of those games that like non-sports game players loved and played a lot of. And I don't know. I think that was like in the heyday. First of all, that was like the heyday of arcades. And second of all, it's one of those sports games that requires absolutely no sports knowledge to play.
None whatsoever.
Absolutely none.
Yeah. It does. I wouldn't say it makes a mockery of the sport, but it does make it like extremely accessible. It like completely transforms it into a video game. It's like it just happens to be basketball is involved. Most people know, they are remaking it, and it looks like it's going to come out shockingly for all three systems. For a while it was going to be Wii exclusive, but now it looks like it's going to come out for the other big two. I for one am looking forward to that. Brian.
Yes. Now, what do we know about this? Because NBA Jam was a midway game, then Acclaim, Acclaim got the rights to it, and Acclaim's dead.
Acclaim's dead. No, they're both dead. No.
And Midway's dead too, because Midway recently just went.
Well, Acclaim's still functioning, just not in the same way.
So
I thought they got liquidated. I thought they bought. I thought they.
It got bought up by somebody.
So who's making this game?
EA.
It's a good question. We don't know. All we know is it is being made.
So, I mean, really, the spiritual successor of NBA Jam was NBA Hangtime, which was the basic continuation of that formula, which Midway made. And then Acclaim made some crappy sort of knockoff games.
EA is making the new NBA Jam.
That's like EA making the new GoldenEye game, that GoldenEye game that was made several years ago. I mean, who cares? Yeah. I mean, the concept's solid as long as it's going to be hard to screw this up, really. It's not like you have to be the most brilliant programmer in the world to come up with the gameplay mechanics. They're already set.
They got the original announcer back.
He
made that game, man.
And the collegiate version that Dick Vitale did, that was they could get Dick Vitale to do like a collegiate version because EA, of course, does all the collegiate games. That would be great.
They do everything at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't.
We've really gotten to a point where there's like three studios that run the world.
Yeah, it's Activision. EA is a publisher primarily.
Yeah. But I mean, they basically hold sway over.
I mean, they're developers too.
EA is a publisher. Yeah, they also have, you know, like sub companies that also develop stuff.
Yeah, tell them to make a Mutant League game.
Mutant League would be great.
Yes.
Or if someone can make a sequel to Bill and Bear's Combat Basketball, that would be great, too.
Yes, yes. I like where you're going with this. How about Arch Rivals?
What about Tecmo Bowl?
Ooh, they just did a new Tecmo Bowl.
They did two Tecmo Bowls. There was a DS game and a downloadable game. It's on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
It's basically the same game, just on different platforms.
And it was not licensed by the NFL.
Once I get my Xbox back, maybe I'll take a look at that.
Really, really just Arch Rivals, and I'll be happy. I don't even watch sports, but give me some Mutant League and some Arch Rivals, and good.
What about?
I'm not even sure if Arch Rivals was good. I just remember liking it.
Yeah, that's good enough for me. You know, it's like, you know what? It's time to punch this guy.
I was a little more serious, so I was playing some Mad Double Dribble back in the day. So
Double Dribble was good. Yeah.
Nice. I played some NBA Live '95
on the Genesis.
No, actually, I had it on the PC.
Ah, so it was actually halfway decent.
Right. What baseball game was it that had robots? What baseball game had robots?
For the NES.
Cyber League 2020 or something?
Something like that. Something
I just remember you would never run. You would just float like over the bases.
If you were robot, you would too.
Right, exactly.
What is it, like a Neo Geo game or something?
It was Super Baseball 2020 is what it was.
Yeah.
Not Cyber Baseball.
I miss sports games that someone like a non-sports fan like me could have fun playing. Like
that's
those.
True.
Yeah.
That's true. At this point, they've all turned into like Super Simulator / RPGs.
Yeah, I just can't go for that.
Yeah,
I don't care about sports, but a solid football title, but I have to trade people. I have to be the coach. I have to be a manager. I have to bench people. I have to do that. I don't care.
Yeah.
I just want to play a game. Like who cares? I guess a lot of people do care. I shouldn't say that.
It's either you have to be the coach or you have to pretend you're throwing the ball with the stupid wand.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no middle ground.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's either for 5-year-olds or fantasy
football.
It's
either the Wii version or it's PS3. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. Appreciate that.
But yeah, I really think there's a lot of potential with NBA Jam. It's a solid concept. The gameplay mechanics are simple, so hopefully they won't screw it up. And there's just a lot of glitz and glamour. I remember my favorite thing about NBA Jam was the resolution of the screen. It wasn't like anything advanced, but the fact that to me, you know, the 13-14-year-old me, when it showed this, when it popped the score up on the screen, it looked like the NBA. That's what made me like, wow, this is the future. I really want to play this. And I finally got it at home, and I'm like, wow, this is not exactly the same. But I didn't know, you know. But
the game was still awesome.
It was still awesome.
I liked all the secret characters, like Bill.
As long
Clinton.
As they put in Bill Clinton in this game, this
yeah,
game, like,
yeah.
Bill and Hillary. That's all I ask.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat characters, King Kong, yes.
I don't expect to see any Mortal Kombat characters this time around.
True.
Man, that's a shame.
We'll just get stuck with EA characters.
Or those made up superheroes for the Marvel crossover game they did. The mutants? No, what was it? It was
the Imperfects or something.
Yeah. God.
Boy.
No classic.
That gets my blood going.
Well, classic EA properties, Mutant League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When EA was
Bring
good.
It back. Yeah, all we're doing these days is just remaking stuff from the early 90s. So let's do it.
Yeah, they keep saying, let's make it real. Well, you know what? That's boring. Let's make a fun game.
Absolutely. Real is overrated. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's why I'm playing a game.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not out there playing basketball. I'm sitting on my butt.
Drinking cheer wine.
Yes.
We're going to wrap up the show real quick with a really quick review. Speaking of sports games, the thing about sports games is actually if you really get into a sports game, as I've been prone to do, you like don't actually get around to playing good story games or good games of any other genre because you get sucked into the Madden or NHL or what have you, and you end up like a whole year of games will just like just pass you by because you're stuck playing that game. You're like in season 2030 with, you know, completely simulated players and Mario Galaxy 2 and all this other good stuff goes by and you never know. But I did tear myself away from Madden to borrow a friend's PSP, and I played Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. And I've played the last two console games, actually, of Metal Gear Solid. And this it's not bad. The thing is, it's like an acquired taste, which is, yes, code for, like, it sucks, but in a way that you can, like, adjust to.
Did you have fun watching those conversations?
And basically, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker is – let's be short. It's your base – it's exactly what you expect, except the bosses suck. So if you're a big fan of Metal Gear Solid, at least like in from the last like 5 or 6 years or so, you know, like the big draw of the game is basically the boss battles. And this game has everything you would come to expect. It's a pretty solid game for a stealth shooter. The controls are nice. The mini games are awesome. Arguably as good or better than the actual game. The mini games are more fun. But the bosses, man, the bosses are such a letdown. They're so boring. And I know Chris has played this. Chris, what did you think of this game?
I've not finished it. I've got past the first two bosses. But, yeah, those bosses are pretty terrible. And the bad thing is that it's designed to be played co-op. And because I know no one that has this game, I will probably never play it co-op.
And you never will.
And I never – yeah, that's what I'm saying.
People actually have PSPs. I've actually only met, like, two people.
I've owned two.
Really?
Yes.
You have the old the first.
Gen I had the one thou. I had the one thou. Yeah, first and second. I do not want the third gen, and definitely do not want the Go.
Why don't you want the Go?
Sarcasm unappreciated.
How many of those have been sold? That's got to be an epic failure.
None, but somehow someone's managed to pirate four of them.
But there is a rumor that a fourth PSP is possibly in the works. I don't know why, but apparently a fourth version.
You know,
so it's not like a new system, like literally like the PSP.
No, it's literally like a PSP 4000 is what it is. And really, what else can you add to it at this point?
What else can they take away is the question.
Yeah, no.
This one will have a screen.
They're going to get rid of the UMD format and put it in a new format.
You know, the sad thing about the PSP is, you know, it's like, they come out with, you know, the 2000, it was nice and slimmer. The 3000, it was plastic. The Go, they don't seem to tell anyone in commercials what's going on. So there's just people buying a Go and, like, buying discs for their Go, and they're getting home, and where do I put this thing?
I wonder how often
that's trash.
No. Yeah.
I'm sure that happens quite a bit.
Yeah, they probably,
I bet they get returns all the time.
Yeah, it's like they bought their first PSP in 05, and, like, oh, my cousin wants one. Hey, why is this smaller? You know, they don't really advertise that in game media. And, you know, you're buying it for your little Johnny. Oh, I'll give him that one. It looks cool. It folds up and down. Oh, and he'll like one of the two games they have for this thing. And all right.
Yeah.
Unless you don't want to collect anything or have any discs of anything, I don't see any reason why you would want a PSP Go.
It's a gadget.
Yeah.
I don't know if like people who buy handheld games like that are comfortable with the idea of downloading everything. Like, I don't know if that feels right. Like, every now and then I'd like a disc. I'd like to own something like tangible.
I'm totally good with not owning anything. I don't care, but I have to. So
see the way I went with the PSP is I picked up a 3000 when Peace Walker came out. I actually got the pack that you came with the game and the system. And the way I saw it is that you can just buy a big enough memory stick, and then you can do the digital route, but you also have the UMDs to fall back on if you'd rather do that. And I do both. I go back and forth. I buy PS1 Classic, put them on my PSP, and then I also buy the UMD games, and it works good.
Admittedly, personally, though, you buy the PS1 games because you have to. If you could get them on a disc, you would.
Yes, I probably would. But, you know, I like the idea of loading up. Like, I've got, like, two or three Final Fantasy games and original Metal Gear Solid on it right now. And it's nice to have multiple games on that memory stick and also have your UMD game to fall back on if you get bored with those PS1 games. I like that. But I like to have that option. I don't want that option to be taken away and you jack up the price by, like, $50 or so.
You know, the thing they really should have advertised, even more than the fact that the PSP is slimmer now and all this stuff, is the fact that, what was it, with the 2000 or 3000, you could hook it up to a TV and play it on the TV.
Nobody cares about that. That's never caught on with portable games.
I mean, what is the
pretty sure that would,
you know? I mean,
I would have taken that up, you know, like, well, you know, I'd have been like, dude, that's a great advent.
I have a PSP 2000. I have the adapter for it, and I've done it all of once. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
I feel like that's Super counterintuitive to a portable gaming system.
Absolutely it is.
I like the having, it's like, okay, I'm playing it here while I'm listening to Comedy Central. You know what? Super Game Boy, I played my Game Boy games on TV.
It's not easy. The thing is, it's not easy to do. You have to plug the cable in. You have to make sure that the TV is set up exactly like it needs to be set up. If the TV doesn't support the exact format the PSP wants, it doesn't work. The only time this has ever made sense was on the, Sega Nomad. Because it was an actual home system or home games on a portable system, and you could actually connect a second controller to it. I mean, if you didn't have a Genesis, or you didn't have the Genesis with you or whatever, I mean, that was kind of cool because the games were designed for a TV screen. Portable games aren't designed to be played on a TV screen. They're designed to be played on a small, itty-bitty little screen. So the games are, you know, designed for that. So I don't really see why anybody would want to play portable games on a TV.
So are you saying they took a good concept and PSP'd it up?
I don't even know that I would go that far. It was a rare instance that it was a good idea for the Nomad. But again, the Nomad didn't sell.
True.
And that's a shame. It was kind of cool. I mean, I guess it sounded good.
I like mine. I think it's great.
Couldn't you only get them at Toys R Us?
No, Walmart had them.
Oh, okay.
They had them forever. Yeah. They didn't sell.
So sad. So sad. Well, on that note, hey guys, do you have anything else that you want to talk about or add or promote?
Not really.
No. No. Come on, Brian. You've got a whole network of podcasts here to promote.
They're already they know. They know.
Do they?
If they don't, I feel sorry for them. No, they're I'm really looking forward to some games coming out. I really
are you looking forward to Dragon Quest, Brian? Are you going to pick it up?
Comes out Sunday.
Yeah, are you going to get it?
Yes, I will pick up Dragon Quest, and I will actually own a legitimate copy of every single Dragon Quest game, except for 7. I kind of have a burned copy that I got from some person named Chris that I know somewhere.
Not me.
Yeah,
the other Chris. The
other Chris. Yeah. But no, thing is, I finished Dragon Quest 1 and 2. I'm working on 3, and I'll probably never get past 4. So I've got 5, 6, you know, 8, and 9 to play, but I probably never will. But I love Dragon Quest 1.
9's multiplayer, too, so if you get it, at least I'll know somebody I can maybe co-op with that on.
Yeah, I've played through Dragon Quest and Dragon Warrior 1, like, literally 9 or 10 times, but... You know, the second one I made it through twice. The third one, not so much. And they get better. But that's one of those things that I buy but to have, kind of like a toy or a, you know, a comic or something. I just want to own it, even if I never finish it.
Didn't you ever watch the Dragon Warrior cartoon show?
Was there one?
Yeah, it used to come on really early Saturday mornings of some anime. And I remember watching it and, you know, playing Dragon Warrior 1 and I was completely lost. I was just wondering if anyone else remembers this really random cartoon that came on at the time, like maybe late 80s, early 90s on NBC.
It was probably syndicated.
It's probably syndicated.
Yeah.
I bet one of our listeners do.
Yes, so they're probably correcting me how it was like something else, and they just threw Dragon Warrior on it and wasn't even related or something.
Wait, sorry, that what about Dragon Warrior?
No, it wasn't Dragon Ball because it was an internet.
What did you say about Dragon Warrior?
What was that show, Ronin Warriors or something? It was probably that, right?
It was Ronin Warriors.
Oh, was it?
No,
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I'm going to look it up now because I'm wondering because it was like this dude and this other dude like traveling around being Dragon Warriors and shit.
Sounds like a good time.
You know, there was a show called Dragon Warriors. It was like a live-action fighting show.
That sounds great.
I'm not even kidding.
I want to watch a live-action fighting show.
Have you guys never seen that before? It's like a rink base. Like, you fight this one dude, goes around traveling, and he fights ninjas and stuff like that.
No, but I want to.
And if he wins, Dragon Warrior. He gets a belt and everything, and then he the next week some guy challenges him, and then they fight each other at the end. And
wasn't that just WWF?
No. Well, it's WWF, but with martial arts, and
man,
way less like no body slams or anything. A lot of high kicks to the face.
No uh-huh. Andre the Giant. No bushwhackers.
Right. No snakes.
No fun.
Just going in the chat. I was right. There was one.
Excellent.
Nice. You're not crazy, Rob.
Thank goodness for at least
WBC Masters. I think that's exactly what I was talking about. Yeah. Is it?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Right. Cool. I see it there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's our gift to you, the listener. Something to go out there and find on the internet and have fun with. Dragon Warrior. Check it out. Anybody else? Does anybody else have anything else to add?
Any games I'm looking forward to?
No.
Well, you know, I downloaded the demo of Crackdown 2 for the 360, and I got to say, it's really Crackdown. the original Crackdown was a really nice game, I thought, and the demo doesn't seem to lose anything from the first. And I'm sure when I have some money, I'll actually go buy Crackdown 2.
I think it got some lukewarm reviews, though.
Well, you know, that happens sometimes when a sequel does not advance as far as some people want to see from the original game.
Right.
You know, I've seen it happen like that before. But if it's just as good as the original, I'd be perfectly happy with it.
That's true.
Was there really a big craving for people like, yeah, Crackdown?
Apparently it was really popular.
I don't think Crackdown was as popular as all the other Rockstar games, though.
Basically, you take – it's like a Grand Theft Auto-style thing crossed with any random superpower game
and cell shading.
Right.
So basically it's Rockstar saying, screw make another IP. We'll just make another sequel.
Something like that.
Hey, let's make money, which is what they're there for.
I mean, they have to put something in there in between their critically acclaimed Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption.
And Bully.
Bully.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Manhunter.
Nothing can top Bully.
I still have not played that game.
I need to.
Body Harvest.
Do you really? Well, hey, on that note, it's been a good show, guys. It's been a little slice of heaven, I think, talking games with everybody. So we're going to give this, again, like I said at the beginning of the show, we're going to give New Soundwave a couple, two or three tries as a video game-centric podcast. Hopefully it'll get better every week. And after a couple weeks, we're going to reevaluate, and if we like how it sounds, we're going to stick to it. And if we don't like how it sounds,
we're going to pretend it
never happened.
Yeah, it's, we're going to kind of strike just from the record.
Just some backstory. We weren't really happy with how New Soundwave was working. We're a really geek-centered show, but there was no, like, central theme to New Soundwave. Like, a general geek show just really didn't – never really felt right. So we wanted to focus the show, and video games seemed to be the most logical choice.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we touch base. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I mean, we kind of touch all the aspects of the things that we find interesting except for – we don't really hit video games as hard as we hit the other things. So New Soundwave is going to be that show, we hope. And we hope we find an audience, and we hope everybody likes it. And I think we're off to a good start.
Yes.
Word. So for everybody on the show, this is John DeLuna. We'll see you next week on the new Soundwave.
This has been New Soundwave. With your hosts, John DeLuna, JD Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.